Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sean Kelly is a play-by-play man for ESPN. He's based in New Orleans, and he joins us now. Sean, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing fine. Can we just pretend that I'm, like, in Memphis with you guys? Because that means that I would have then left my house for the first time in 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
So that'd be great.
Yeah,
Let's do that.
We can pretend all you want.
You're doing your part.
Yeah, how is New Orleans? Obviously, we're thinking of New Orleans, you know, that's certainly been identified as perhaps the next hot spot with this COVID-19. How is New Orleans? I know you can't leave your house, or you shouldn't leave your house, but how is it down there?
A little on edge. For a town that kind of takes things in stride, things are a little on edge this week as it gets more serious by the day. And, I live about 45 minutes north of the city across Lake Pontchartrain, so the vibe here is a little different than, say, just across the bridge, as they say. Down in the city, it's just very odd, and you've got a lot of people really hurting right now because so much of this city down here relies on tourism and hospitality, and all those people obviously are shut down, and quite a few of those folks are hourly workers. So there's this mix of uncertainty with regard to the local economy, and then, of course, this town that never does well distancing in anything is trying to cope with that and watching a lot of people get sick right now.
How does it compare with Katrina? I mean, God knows you guys went through something awful then. Is it completely different? Are some things the same in terms of how people are, you know, responding to it?
I think there are some parallels, and then I think there are some differences. And I think that this town, more so than a lot in our country, is dealing with these first couple of weeks with this, maybe better because of what Katrina was.
Interesting.
But at least with Katrina, you knew how that worked. You know, you knew that this was going to happen. Here it comes. Oh, my gosh. A lot of catastrophic physical damage. A lot of lives upended. Mm-hmm. And then it was, let's get back to work. The uncertainty of the situation, or the fact that you can look outside and it's 82 degrees and sunny out and nothing seems to be wrong, makes for this odd combination. Should I be getting something else done? Oh, well, why don't I go see so-and-so? And you can't really do that. And so in a lot of ways, that's tough. I will say this. I think that what we're seeing is maybe too late, but more so by the day, this idea of we've got to really take care of those neighbors that are in specific need of things.
Yep.
And trying to support as best we can first responders and medical workers, too.
Okay, so on to other matters, which are considerably less important, but they still do matter. I think this country, more than anything else right now, we need to get PPE for our healthcare workers, and we need diversion. I mean, that is what I think what we need in this country, because we have been consumed if not physically, certainly mentally, by COVID-19. And a lot of that, I think, people are pinning their hopes on the NBA, and people are pinning their hopes on the return of the NBA. Mark Cuban is certainly one outspoken owner who believes that they're coming back. He thinks it's coming back, and it might be sooner than you think. Is there a path to a return in your mind, Sean? And do you think the NBA can do that responsibly?
I think there's always a path, because whenever there's a will for something, things do get done. And by the way, not to be cold-hearted here, but whenever there's this much money on the line, there's
right.
a will to get things done. So, but I will say this, I'm not optimistic about sooner rather than later. I'm looking more at later, and I'm not so sure what that means. And I'm not so sure you can look toward China or other countries and their basketball leagues as to how they've done it. Look, in China, there's no CBA. There's no players' union. So that in itself, you're comparing apples to oranges. The timeline, maybe, and if we're going to use the timeline, we're talking 3.5 months. And so if we go back to Rudy Gobert night, it's March 11th, and we're not even a month into it. So that plays into it as well. I think the path may be this. There's going to be something completely different than what we've known. I would say that maybe the excitement of chasing the eighth spot in the West fuels the start. And then when we can get 16 teams laid out, East and West, which, you know, the East is pretty much set, you know, is it one of those deals where we play best of five? Where do we play those games? I doubt fans are involved early on.
Right.
And I don't know if we're going to be doing it in cities that you might expect. So all those things play into it. I think the only thing that I can think to lean on or target at this point is, let's say we get to mid-June and we're not on the brink of playing games, whether that's in NBA cities or arenas or in front of fans. If we're not on the brink of playing games by then, I think that puts a championship series, a finals in jeopardy with regard to completing it before Labor Day. And if that's the case, I think the NBA is in some trouble. So with that being said, you'd say, oh, Sean, no big deal. We got 6 weeks before we even need to get guys maybe back together. That might help. But, man, after these last 2 weeks, do we really have any certainty about whether that can be done or not? I don't know.
None. I got to ask you, you know, up here we almost say, hey, well, it's because of the spot the Grizzlies are in at number 8 and 3.5 games of everybody else. It's easier for us to say, you know what, can't see them finishing out the regular season, right? Forget those other teams. With all due respect, they're at Grizzlies are in. I just feel, what would the reaction be if the NBA decide down in New Orleans, maybe even Portland, but you're in New Orleans, that's where I want to know from, what would the reaction be if, hey, we're just going to go with these 16? What would it be? Would people care? I mean, I realize, you know, Zion's there now, so it's a different thing. I mean, that there's really a team that on paper looks good, or is that still more of a Saints town and people would just turn the page toward football? What do you think would happen?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, it would obviously be different than here than, say, in Portland because, of, like you said, football season will be around the corner. Perhaps the situation here is more dire than, say, Portland, Oregon, and so therefore the NBA is just not top of mind and saving lives is if they came to that decision in the next 6 weeks. All those things play into it. If I could just be objective, I don't live in New Orleans. I don't live in Memphis. I just love the NBA. Part of me would take the side of, hey, look, if this means we can have a postseason and crown a champion, then I'm all for it. But at the same time, I also look at the value of the regular season schedule. And, guys, I look at Memphis' schedule, and there's two meetings there with New Orleans. There's two with Toronto. There's a game against Denver. There's, you know, out of the last, 17 to 19 games, their schedule is not easy. And therefore, that 3.5-game lead is tenuous, in my opinion. So that to me would lend to, we got to have some kind of a play in, but that, you know, how fair is that? Might be exciting, kind of a knockout type deal, but those are the kind of arguments that are going to happen. Yeah. I understand where Memphis is. I understand that those fans would be teed up and ready to go. And look, don't discount the job that coaching staff has done, that group of players has done, and what John Morant has brought to that city and that team. All those things play into it, and to me, they're as deserving an eighth seed as the others. I just think that without that full schedule being played out and with the margin being what it is, it'd be hard to swallow for a lot of folks just to say, you know what, we're just taking those eight in the West and we're going to go.
No, yeah. You nailed it on the schedule. That's the part. Grizz fans don't want to play the rest of that schedule.
They're ready to be done.
You nailed it. That's the reason they want to move on too. Yeah,
it really is. And I looked at it, you know, you can throw a game against Dallas in there.
Yeah.
Shoot, there's the last game of the regular season schedule. I don't have in front of me. It might be Houston or something like that that could be fighting for a seed or something like that. But look, I didn't see really any gimmies in that schedule.
No, they were
away from Memphis.
Yeah, the gimmies were about done. The gimmies were about done. No question about it.
We are, of course, talking to Sean Kelly, play-by-play man for ESPN. While we're on the subject here, I mean, do you see that as, I mean, with what New Orleans is building, and they already have an all-star in Brandon Ingram, and Zion, of course, will be an all-star, we assume, for a very long time. The Grizzlies here in Memphis, you know, with Ja Morant and Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., with everything they've – I mean, is that the next great – could it be the next great NBA rivalry?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, because we've had this conversation, for years about this now, about, you know, the lack of rivalries in the NBA and could it ever be a New Orleans-Memphis thing. And it just never seemed to kind of get right. You know, when New Orleans was kind of on the come there with the big season they had 07-08 around that time, Memphis was struggling. They were still transitioning, all those things going on. But then, and when Memphis went on their run, New Orleans was down. So we never really could say that we could get a real good rivalry going, a lack of a playoff series. Yes, they're in the same division, all those things. But now, with these young cores, if we can keep the division format intact, yeah, maybe so. Because it's lacking, and we don't have enough of it in the league. And the two cities are primed for it, I think. Just there's some grudges there. There's some little brother syndrome that goes on back and forth in their own states. All those things play into it. It could be fun, especially with those young cores, and hopefully you can keep them together.
You know, I think Sean, because it's small market, because it's the only professional franchise in town, there's an underlying fear with Grizzlies fans about what if one day Robert Parrott decides to relocate the team, right? And so you're always looking at the lease and how possible. Is there that fear there? And if there was, did it change once you locked in with Zion? Because at one point, you guys small market too, and I figured once Davis is out of the picture, you're wondering, well, is this thing really viable in New Orleans, which feels like a football town? But is that real, and did it change at all once you get Zion? And Lord knows, you know, everybody'd love to have the Pelicans down with Zion on board. Is there a fear there that they could relocate, or did that die once you got Zion?
No, I think actually the fear kind of started dying off when the owner of the football team bought the basketball team.
Benson, so, right? Gale?
Benson factor is really as big as anything else. And now with Mrs. Benson in charge and her kind of civic loyalty, perhaps, mm-hmm. that's the best way to
describe
it.
And now the value goes up too, right, Sean? Now your values soar.
The Zion thing helps it go up. The Zion
Absolutely.
Thing brings more national attention. All those things play into it. If you go through the Anthony Davis cycle and the way it ended and you don't get a Zion, it could have been a knock against it. If you now go through the Zion cycle and then all of a sudden Zion's looking to leave without something significant happening to that franchise, then you might have some trouble down mm-hmm. the road. But, man, I mean, that seems so far away now
absolutely.
Compared to what else we're all kind of going through. So, and even in Memphis, look, whenever there's a buzz about a team and fans are on their way in and a team like Memphis can get themselves a little further up on the national stage, that helps some of those things go away. Because of the nature of the business, because of these small markets, that's always going to loom in the corner somehow, some way. I don't think you can ever get rid of it. It's more about managing it than anything else.
No, I thought, Sean, the league, maybe they don't say it in face, maybe they want their big stars like Ja, you know, if they had their way in L.A. and New York and all that kind of thing. But was that not the best thing for the league, that the two teams, right, when it came to revenue sharing that needed the most, got the two guys, you moved up to where you did, and you got two guys that I think we both feel like, you certainly must feel like with Zion that way, and we're hoping that it's a superstar thing with Ja as well. Isn't that I thought it's going to end up being a great thing for the league. Now you got to watch those two small market franchises, you know what I mean? Because they've got headline guys.
Oh, no doubt. And look, I think the same thing happened in some ways to Milwaukee as well.
Yes.
Don't discount 100%. That.
100%. Great one.
And the league and the league is healthy also because, look, Toronto's a huge, massive city, but it's not in the United States. So having an NBA champ finally outside of the borders of this country didn't hurt either. All these things play into it. But I do think the NBA does better when its stars are in certain areas. And I do think that includes Los Angeles, good and bad. Yes. Is it good for the league that the Lakers are back and relevant again? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does it hurt the league and its TV ratings that you have a concentration of stars playing a lot of games in the Pacific time zone? Yes. That also factors in. So it's kind of a layered conversation in that sense. I think that if you have parity in the league, we've seen this with the NFL, parity would be in the NBA, having stars scattered about, including all-stars in Memphis and New Orleans, that's better for the overall health of the league.
And then last thing before we let you go, Sean, and we certainly do appreciate the time.
Yes.
I know you've got a jam-packed schedule. Drew Brees there in New Orleans has an offer after his playing days are done to join Monday Night Football. Do you think that's something that he would be interested in, and how good do you believe he would be in that role?
I think he would be outstanding in that role. I don't know what those above me at the network I work for are doing on this front. Not that I think that this is a mistake. I just don't know how real or not real this is. But I also know Drew Brees well enough after covering him for 8 years that he doesn't think too much past the week that he's in. So
right.
Maybe he is looking forward a little bit, or that's his agent's job, but I don't think he would even say anything real concrete about it until perhaps he makes that decision, you know, maybe in 12 months that he is done.
So what's, you know, Brees, what's he thinking with Tom Brady now in the division? I bet he's not ready to hand that thing over like some have sort of crowned the Bucs.
Oh, no, and the fact that they're going to play twice a year now, that makes it even more entertaining. The whole division, by the way, quarterback-wise, is pretty stout now, the way you look at it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Hey, you guys take care and be healthy, okay?
Yeah, thanks for the time, as always, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.